Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to Galactic Roundtable. This is Beth. I apologize, my voice is a little sketchy. I have a very scripted, planned out to the minute program for you, so I invite you to strap on your helmets and prepare for a fast ride. What's happening now is a lot of folks have been calling me and saying, I feel like I'm not doing enough. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I'm supposed to be doing something, but I don't know what it is. And these light workers are tuning in to this information that I need to share with you. It will take the next couple of weeks to fill you in on all the information and questions. There is a big project coming that we're all going to participate in. To begin with tonight, I had given an offer of a channel with Saint Germain and questions for Saint Germain. And I have a new message from him tonight. So I'm going to lead off with that and then we'll roll right into what's coming next. So following this message is about more than a dozen pages of questions and answers, and that will be posted tomorrow. So let me begin with this message. Greetings. This is Saint Germain through Elizabeth Trutwin, March 12, 2014. Earth has been placed on the new timeline by the cosmic builders, many of which are the Wingmakers, who returned from far in the future to complete this mission. The purpose for a new timeline is to dissolve that from the old timeline, which stands in the way of Earth ascension. Since entering the new timeline mid-February 2014, it is possible to receive downloads from Galactic Federation's ships for your age reversal. Many of you are experiencing this and feeling it is ascension symptoms. That is true, and also know it is causing age reversal inside your cells. You are able to now receive overlays in your DNA templates. These templates are chosen by you in the higher realms and are what you have been waiting for. The template overlays are perfect knowledge and will make it possible to receive the knowledge imparted from source to your highest self. You hold the knowledge even if you are not aware of it. You may draw on it as you will, and you must ask. Your guides are standing by to assist you. Call on them early and often. We are in process of installing divine government on Earth. There are seven guidelines when followed. Prosper Earth within the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds. It is with these seven guidelines Nasara Law was written. One, councils for Earth ascension will assemble regularly and frequently. Two, councils for Earth ascension will assemble unanimously and move forward with their duties unanimously in oneness consciousness. Number three, councils for Earth ascension will follow universal laws, including Nasara law, and not create new laws which have not been established in universal laws. Number four, councils for Earth ascension will respect, revere, worship, and think the elders worth listening to. Number five, councils for Earth ascension will not coerce and force their women and girls to dwell with them against their will. That has to do with allowing divine feminine in on the conversation. Number six, councils for Earth ascension honor the ancient shrines built by their galactic family and do not allow the righteous sacrifices that were formerly made to be neglected. And number seven, councils for Earth ascension have made good arrangements in regard to the lawful protection, safety, and guarding of the worthy ones, so that the worthy ones in the future can enter the realm, and having entered, the worthy ones can live comfortably in the realm. No dates, no nukes, no flukes. There are further seven guidelines individuals may follow to prosper on a peace-filled earth. Number one, respect, your worship and think them worth listening to, the elders, those of long standing, a long time gone forth, the mothers and fathers of the community, the leaders of the community. Number two, the individual will discipline the mind, not come under the influence of craving, which has arisen for continual existence, food, sex, chemicals, gambling, egoic thought, sleep, ignoring duties. Number three, the individual will desire for forest dwellings and remain one with Mother Earth, seeking out the truth, explored, humbly gathered in quiet places. Individually will attend to the ways of mindfulness so that their fellow peers who are well behaved in the future can come from places far away and live comfortably among them. Number five, be not attached to work, are not devoted to the pleasure in work, the delight in work, and are not attached to work, but rather do the work which is needed that now. Number six, be not attached to speech, are not devoted to the pleasure in speech, the delight in speech, understanding the value of being in silence. Number seven, do not have evil wishes or wicked friends. The above listed guidelines for a planet of peace and an individual's responsibility living upon her have been violated during this period of time. Due to that, in the new cycle with divine government, brings with it a leveling of the playing field. This is exacted through the implementation of Nisara law. Within Nisara law are many, many provisions designed for equanimity, which is a universal law required for divine government. It is not about money. It was never about money. Earth abundance is shared this way now, and so it is a part of the solution. Arrests, announcements, enactment of Nisara law. This has always been the sequence of events leading up to full galactic disclosure and the enactment of Nisara law. These events, seen over a course of 13 years, seems to be unrelated to the naked eye. Know that the master plan has been in place, has been in play since the morning of 9/11. September 11th, 2001 was the original date that Nisara law was to be announced to the public. This mass psychological attack usurped the announcements, and it has taken 13 years to come back to that moment. When analyzing how long it is taking, understand that 9/11 added war crimes against humanity, which had to be accounted for. This has to do with ending time on Earth. When time ends at the end of the Kali Yuga, duality ends. As duality ends, cause and effect, karma ends. Because karma must end, the new and compounded karma of 9/11 needed to be dealt with. The dark cabal have been living under the delusion that they could put off announcements forever, and they have tried every day since. A nuclear war would put it off again, and that is not going to happen. This has been a battle waged on and off planet, and the end of time is now. A few things to consider. The Rockefeller Initiative between 1993 and 1998, involving Lawrence Rockefeller, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Leon Panetta, and John Podesta, was set into place for Bill Clinton to be the disclosure president. Following that, the Clinton administration, including Bill, Hillary, and their staff, were attacked in a way no other president has been. Lawrence Rockefeller is Bill Clinton's natural father. Hillary is a Rothschild and the granddaughter of Hitler through a mistress. The dark cabal did not arrange their marriage just so they could end their control on the many. The dark cabal first murdered President John F. Kennedy, actually his clone, when he was going to be the disclosure president. Bill Clinton felt sufficiently threatened after many years of attacks. He, the 42nd president of the United States, was impeached by the House of Representative on two charges, one of perjury and one of obstruction of justice in 1998. At This time, President Clinton stepped down from the role as disclosure president, fearing for his very life and those of his family. Bill Clinton was acquitted of these charges in 1999 and went on to sign the National Economic Security and Reformation Act into law before he left office October 10th in 2000, after it was passed by both the House and the Senate at an undisclosed location. NASARA law stated, in order for it to be put into effect, it must first be announced publicly. That was to occur September 11th, 2001, which is why 9/11 truth and full galactic disclosure go hand in hand. This is one of the reasons why it has been taking so long. NASARA has to be enacted publicly. However, certain actions have been carried out within NASARA law, so that when it is enacted, the actions are completed that are needed to enable easy movement forward. I'll just have a sip. Another thing. We have been inside the American Republic since October 10th, 2000, when Clinton signed the bill into law. There have been stages of things that needed to happen before the final enactment. The arrests, the first step to arrests, announcements, the enactment of NASARA law, have been ongoing, as have been the trials and indictments in The Hague. These have been posted in the papers, but the media ignores them and plays them down. During the global settlement funds in October 2003, the entire world economy of the powers that were went financially inside NASARA law on that day. Major arrests began just after Obama was elected. Thousands and thousands of criminals have been arrested and put on prison ships and are being kept there. The Fitzgerald Tribunals, the Franklin Tribunals, the World Court Tribunals, and the Kuala Lumpur Tribunals on Israel have worked on these arrests specifically. The people who have been tried have been indicted, convicted, and they will be gently executed at The Hague according to NASARA law. This work had to be completed before the enactment could be made. That is what has been taking so long. We're in a process since November 4th, 2008. Barack Obama is the disclosure president. The master plan is being played out. John Podesta is back in the White, President Obama as the disclosure president, with the precise sequence of events building to the event. There are the big arrests, and these will be played out in March. April will see other big changes. The big arrests will trigger help from inside the matrix leading to announcements. The awake and aware lightworkers will be invited to play a major role in tipping the scales, allowing President Obama to stump up to the podium. More information is forthcoming. Stay tuned. This is Saint Germain through Elizabeth Trutwin. I need to roll really quickly through all this next information. So let's keep this going. I need to play a message that was given by Stephen Bassett, the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group, at the Citizens Hearings on Disclosure last April 29th, 2013. So let's listen to what Steve has to say. Hold on, I'm queuing this up to the front line. It's thinking about it. Here, let me going to recue it. So we're just rolling through the advertising. Here we go.
Thank you. I'm Stephen Bassett, and I'm a political activist. One of those people that if they're right, you hate them, and if they're wrong, you hate them. I want to comment three points very quickly. There's a powerful dichotomy or duality with respect to this issue. if there is one single non-human entity traveling around in the sky in anything, right, whatever kind of craft, that is a huge deal. But it's actually an extraordinarily simple thing. You just hear, there they are, one thing, one entity. So you accept that. Maybe it's proven to you. Then you move on past that, and then things go from very simple, they're here or they're not here, to the extraordinary range of complexities and issues that are raised right here. And people say, well, okay, it's so simple, and yet there's all of that, and that's just scary, and what's going to happen? Well, here's the problem. The reason it seems a little scary is that the way humans have been operating for a long time is they've been facing the unknown since they evolved out of the oceans. That's all they do is face the unknown. It's a scary thing to be human. They've been doing it very well. They come up with something they understand, and then they try to figure it out and move on. Well, guess what? We have some more interesting things to face. But what's happened here is that we sort of learned that there were some new things on the horizon, and the government said, stop. Don't look into that. Right? It's unknown, but don't look into that. And then decades and decades pass while the phenomena grows, and people become more and more aware that something's going on, but yet it's not being properly engaged. And so it's like a full slip, right? Where these things have slipped apart. So we have this gap between our desire to move on, to learn about the unknown, which is what we do, and the government's desire for us to hold firm, hold fast, and not move forward. And that is creating a lot of cognitive dissonance, and you can feel it all the time. That's the first point. The second point has to do with the Rockefeller Initiative. I invite all of the political media, all media in general, but certainly the political media, to look at the Rockefeller Initiative. It is one of the great stories in American history. It's one of the great political stories, certainly of this or any other time. It is filled with amazing people who are still around and still very powerful. At the time that Rockefeller approached, through his attorney, President Clinton, Clinton's key opponent, his very key advisor, was John Podesta. The chief of staff at the time was Leon Panetta. The wife of the president at the time was Hillary Clinton. A good friend of the family at the time, soon to be Clinton's Secretary of Energy, was Bill Richardson. And this event went on, or this initiative went on for 6 years. The press completely ignored it, as if, what's the news there? It's just a billionaire Rockefeller trying to get the president to release all the files on this phenomena, possibly put a letter into every newspaper in the country and release, and the truth embargo. There's no news there. On the other hand, when the First Lady Hillary Clinton decided to do a little role-playing regarding Eleanor Roosevelt, just to kind of get a sense of what it was like to be First Lady, the press went apoplectic. That was news. In the 20 years that's followed, what has happened? Well, Leon Panetta, chief of staff, who was fully aware of the Rockefeller Initiative the entire time it went on, became the Secretary of Defense and then the CIA director under President Obama. The wife of the president, Hillary Clinton, who was fully aware of the Rockefeller Initiative, went on to become Secretary of State and almost the President of the United States. John Podesta went on to become his chief of staff. And then in 2002, in a room just on the other hall I was attending, is when he made the announcement that Grant Cameron talked about, calling for the release of all the UFO files out of nowhere. I was there to watch the launch of the Coalition of Freedom of Information, which was kind of a mainstream attempt to look at this issue. I knew it was mainstream. And so when he showed up, I wasn't too surprised. But then when he made that statement, I said, what is going on here? A former chief of staff of a president and an advisor to a president has just called for the release of all files because the people have the right to know and it's the law. And I said, well, there'll be 1,000 press trucks in front of his house tomorrow. Didn't happen. A year later, he came back and said it again, 2003. And then 6 months after he did that is when Bill Richardson wrote a foreword to a book called The Roswell Dig Diaries, where he basically said the Air Force explanation for Roswell was incorrect. About the same time as when Stephen Schiff was doing his efforts to try to find out the truth, and Colonel Philip Corso came forward with extraordinary revelations about his involvement with the Roswell technology. And the press still didn't see the news quite yet. President Obama appointed Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, but what was the most notable thing to me is one of the most important jobs that he had to choose as the new president of the United States was the person that was going to help form the new government that he was about to launch. And the person he chose as the co-chair, but the principal chair of his transition committee, was the man who called for the release of all the UFO files in 2000 and 2003, John Podesta. But when they lost the election in 2004, went silent. And I can tell you, there is an unbelievable political story that has never been told that exists between the moment that Rockefeller turns up in Clinton's Office of Science and Technology Policy and the election of Barack Obama and the selection of all the people that knew about the Rockefeller Initiative right into the administration, including Bill Richardson, who they tried to become make the Secretary of Commerce. These connections are too extraordinary to be accidental. I believe that the story the press could find, which is just dripping with Pulitzer Prizes, is the fact that the Democratic Party at some level made the decision that they were going to be the disclosure party. It should have gone to George H.W. Bush, the perfect, quote, disclosure president from the standpoint of the military intelligence complex. But the Cold War ended in the middle of his term. There was a war in the Middle East. It wasn't quite something you could just do, but he was the guy. He has a resume. It looks like a phone book. But he lost the election. He lost the election to an unknown man from Arkansas with a rather unusual history, who was a draft dodger in their mind and a womanizer in their mind. And they hated him. They hated him so much that officers were insulting him in front of the troops and had to be sent letters that it's actually treason to do that. He could not be the disclosure president. And yet Rockefeller turns up at his door and it goes from there all the way through. There is a hidden backstory. And I would also say that the day that Rockefeller's attorney showed up in the office of this man that the military intelligence complex wanted nothing to do with, the alarm bells were going off all over the military intelligence world, in the basements, in the darkest recesses of the underground facilities. Oh my God, Bill Clinton is going to be the disclosure president. And very shortly after Henry Diamond appeared and the Rockefeller Initiative began, and I remember it quite well because I was living in Washington, it seemed like the entire universe collapsed down on this administration, and they came under every conceivable attack you can imagine from every direction. They went after mothers, dogs, cats, girlfriends, aunts, uncles, Travelgate, Troopergate, Porkbellygate, and it never stopped until he was impeached. Saying at the time, I was listening to him comment, this is back around, would say 1995, 6, 7. I remember press saying, you know, the president has his problems and clearly he makes mistakes, but I don't get it. Why? What is going on here? What is this endless attack on this man and his wife and everything else? Why are they bottling him up so much? He's doing such a great job. He's got a great approval rating, but they're coming at him. There may be a reason that the press doesn't understand that Bill Clinton could potentially have been the disclosure president, and that wasn't acceptable, and he had to go. And when he won again, they became even more concerned, and so it goes. And then eventually Barack Obama becomes the president and brings all of those people from that time back to do what? Well, we don't know. What their major plans might have been were squashed because just a few weeks before the election itself, the entire economy essentially collapsed or was about to collapse because some people decided when they left the building, they would take all the money with them. And his administration is completely tied up ever since. So there is this amazing backstory to all of this that if some really tough reporters who like to ask tough questions, the Woodward and Bernsteins of our era, if there are any left, get out there and start asking those questions, I tell you, it's going to be very, very interesting. Those are my comments. Thank
you. I don't know if you watched the live stream of the citizens hearing on disclosure, but tell me that's not telling. Everything Steve has ever said publicly in every interview, year in and year out, has been leading up to what's happening next. What's happening next is as a follow-up to the citizens' hearing on disclosure. Stephen Bassett is going back in a few weeks to Washington, D.C. to ask for congressional hearings on disclosure. So let's see what he has to say about that. Here you go.
Citizen Hearing Disclosure was a great success. It was webcast to the world, it was filmed, and we have 30 hours of testimony. Now, what we're going to do next is we're going to take all this to Capitol Hill. We've created a section on the website where people can get involved in a congressional hearing initiative. I'm going to go back to Washington for the first time in 13 years, in my capacity as a registered lobbyist on this issue. We're going to seed the Hill with this testimony, this extraordinary testimony, and we're going to send 5,350 DVDs to Capitol Hill. And what they're going to watch is this extraordinary testimony being presented to these former members of Congress, and these members of Congress get really seriously interested. And obviously, the connection is there. Saying, look, it's time for the real hearings. It's time to have these witnesses and many of the others ready to testify under oath in front of House and Senate committees. And it's a compelling argument. I'm going to be working directly out of Washington, contacting these offices, setting up meetings for as many months as it takes to get those hearings initiated. Once those hearings begin, the truth embargo is pretty much finished. Either Obama or another head of state will finally go in front of their people and say, you're not alone in the universe. We've got company now. All right, and we can tell you about that, can't tell you everything, and be in the post-disclosure world. There's a whole new world on the other side of the event we call disclosure, not the least of which is the revealing of what progress the government has made in re-engineering and studying the extraterrestrial technology that they've had in their hands for decades through crash vehicles. This technology, the energy systems, the propulsion systems, could solve a lot of our problems, could change the dynamic of the 21st century. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the kind of stuff that will change people's lives, that will, you know, drop the price of energy possibly by 90-95%, putting trillions of dollars back into the public domain to be used for other things. Phasing out fossil fuel as the principal energy source, which allows us to clean up the environment in ways we can only dream of. That's why we need people to get involved now. Anybody that has been aware of this issue, that wants the truth out to the American people, but have been sort of on the fence of whether they want to get involved, now is the time to get on board.
The Congressional Hearing Initiative with Stephen Bassett. So if you have been listening with me last year when I went to the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, you know that I've always played a major role in raising public awareness around the work of the Paradigm Research Group, including filming and distributing the DVDs for their documentary called The Truth Embargo, and helping be the cheerleader for Stephen Bassett to get the message out. So I am getting ready to become very busy working on this, supporting his effort as he goes back to Washington, D.C. So I'm just going to put a request out there. If you've ever thought about having a reading with me, or you are in a capacity to donate to support my work. For me, money equals time. I have a family. All of my efforts are volunteer. The time I come on the radio, the new writings I do, the research and writings I do for presentations, the messages I give out free, everything I do is completely volunteer efforts with I have no paycheck, no salary, no nothing. So if you care to donate, or if you would like a reading in exchange, please contact me now. Now is the time to support me financially, if at all possible, if you feel inspired to do so. So I will be freely giving all my time back around the clock, making new web pages, doing everything possible to put the education out there that we need to tip the scales to have disclosure during this window of opportunity this spring. It's time to get mobilized, and I need your help now. just for the next 3 weeks. If there's anything you can do, I appreciate it very much. The next information I'd like to share with you is from Linda Moulton Howe. Linda's website is, I don't have it in front of me. Oh, Linda's website is The Earth Files. And she's an investigative reporter, and you may or may not be familiar with her body of work, but I am a great admirer of Linda Moulton Howe, her integrity and how she has kept going with her research and presentations of every media there are since the beginning of this issue. She had some of the most stunning testimony at the entire 5 days of 30 hours of testimony. I would bank on it that either you don't remember this or you have never heard it. Very important work. Listen. Thank you. It may have trouble loading. Let's see. I had these set up and they're not working, so I'm just going to reload them, and that means ads. 1 second. So put on your thinking caps and listen up. This is major, shocking disclosure.
Mr. Rockefeller, to the Wyoming Ranch, along with some of the people here, Stephen Greer was there, others.
Stephen Greer, Linda Moulton Howe, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton went to Lawrence Rockefeller's ranch, and they began the Rockefeller Initiative, which was to be disclosure under Bill Clinton, and it didn't work out, and Linda was there. And she was there a lot longer. She got invited because she is in the know. Listen.
And what links in my mind was a discussion that I had with then John Mack, MD, psychiatrist from Harvard University, who had taken a great interest in the abduction syndrome, both as a psychiatrist and then as somebody who was trying to understand, as I and others were, what is the true nature of an advanced intelligence that would be interacting with this planet, and may not itself, the prime intelligence, be the actor here, but making various kinds of cloned in a particular planet, in this particular atmosphere, this particular gravity. And Dr. Mecca and I at Mr. Rockefeller's place in Wyoming, we're discussing this, and we went into the issue of why is it that the non-human intelligence, as described in the human abduction syndrome, appears to be 100% telepathic, with the ability to both place impressions in human minds and to also project three-dimensional holograms that the human mind and eye cannot distinguish from the world around us. This is something that I and many others had encountered, and the more deeper you get into this field, the more you realize that our reality can be manipulated through our minds without us being able to tell difference at times. And this led to a discussion, which at the time I had only shared with Dr. Mack, God rest him, wherever he is now. That very year, I had a face-to-face with a man who was currently working in the United States military, who had been aware of my work. And by that 92, 93 time period, I had produced the book An Alien Harvest, as well as TV productions. And in the whole question of why would something advanced from someplace else in the universe be mutilating animals on this planet, this man was trying to tell me that there is a survival issue as well as a cloning issue in what we are dealing with, and that genetic material has been harvested from this planet for a long time to create containers. And this, in discussion with Dr. Mack, led to, I thought I would share this today to show you, if this is true, what I'm going to share with you, it shows how difficult it is for all humans to relate to any aspect of all of this. The military person was describing his firsthand experience that occurred in 1978 in a small town in northern Arizona. He worked for a unit that would be comparable to what has been in some of the government documents called Moondust or Project Pounds. These are units that were put together at least as far back as right after Roswell. Units that would be trained to go to wherever there was a reported crash or landing, because some of these craft have been clearly left or put down. And that their job would be to extract technology, the craft, and the bodies. And that he was on one of those teams. And he told me that in 1978, in this town in northern Arizona, there was a flood, and that our military unit understood that the flood was not caused by nature, and it was not caused by humans. It was caused by something that was in the category of what they called non-human. And that he was assigned to a group to go there to try to understand why had the water been released from a dam into this town by something non-human. And that his superior officer said, we are going to communicate with and bring in one of the Ebens. And I want you to have the experience of what a telepathic download upload is. And he said they described exactly what would happen, that his superior officers would be nearby. They had done this before. It was a test. And that he was to stand in a particular position, and that this non-human entity would be asked to stay on the ground, because apparently they have the ability to neutralize gravity even in a focused way as an individual body, that they would prefer not to walk on the ground, and that one of the conditions would be that the entity would approach him with his full knowledge, and that they wanted him to have the experience of the telepathic communication. And I was telling Dr. Mack at Mr. Rockefeller's facility in Wyoming that he told me very honestly, he said, you know, I was so full of myself as a young man that when they were trying to warn me that I would not be prepared for what happened, I thought nonsense. But he said, it's my superior officer. And he said, I want you to know that there will be a point where you are going to want to run or collapse. And I'm ordering you to stand. And he said, I thought it was so silly. And then everything started to unfold and the being came about 4 feet high. He was 6'4". He remembered how much taller he was. They had told him the being would come up to about 3 to 4 feet from him, but be very low. And they told him, all controlled, that the being would simply raise its head, and when the eyes connected with his eyes, he would no longer be in control of his mind. He thought all of it was nonsense. And then the being's head started to rise, and he said, Linda, imagine having 7 feature films with sound, with touch, with heat, with every sensation that we know and more. And over all of the 7 films running in your mind are gold 3-dimensional symbols. And he said, I remember that my knees began to shake and buckled, and I knew that I was fainting, and men caught him. And he said, they put me on a cot and they left me there for 3 hours. And when I woke up, if God himself had asked me what had been communicated in those 7 films, I would not know. He said, my superior officer told me later every human thinking about extraterrestrial biological entities and the whole issue of us not being alone in the universe and the wonder of being able to travel the universe and to communicate with non-humans, we would like to do it over coffee. And he said, it isn't going to happen. Because what happens when their minds telepathically download to our minds, they are uploading every single thing we've ever experienced or thought from our minds. And that the end result often is information is added by the non-humans into the human mind that has had this experience. But then we live on a planet where our fellow humans cannot even hear what uploaded, downloaded information from non-humans might be, because we have taken the position, as odd as it is, that we are alone in the universe and this does not exist. And Dr. Mack, after I told him that story, he looked at me and he said, you know, Linda, I agree, I think we are dealing with extraterrestrial biological entities in some cases. But he said, you know, I think that it's too complex, that it must involve time travelers, other dimensions, and that we are truly like little infants approaching something that is beyond our understanding.
Linda Moulton. And how, everybody. Much, much more at the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure than that. And I'd like to share more of that with you coming up. This is what Stephen Bassett has to say. This is a quote from him regarding why we should have the Congressional Hearings Initiative. Why you should do it. This is from Stephen Bassett. It is time for the people to know the truth about the world they inhabit. Maintaining the truth embargo has cost a fortune, undermined the social contract, and led to abuses of secrecy and power. Until the truth embargo is ended, there will be no public access to technologies derived from extraterrestrial vehicles at a time of mounting economic and environmental challenges. The energy and propulsion physics of the flying saucer is needed now. Trust in government has collapsed, and governance has grounded to a halt. Disclosure will dramatically reverse this trend and initiate a whole new era of telling, of truth-telling. So my job is to drive it home that we all need to collectively get together and get this done now. And there's a lot we can do, and that's what we'll be talking about today and the days leading up to when we take action. I want to finish the night down. We only have a few more minutes with Richard Dolan, extraterrestrial researcher and historian, amazing man in his own field. I'm a huge fan. He's written many books. You can see his lectures out on YouTube. He's a leader in the field. Enjoy.
Esteemed members of the committee, thank you for having me. I'm a researcher and historian on the matter of UFOs, particularly as they relate to U.S. national security policy. I just have a short statement here. The UFO problem has involved military personnel around the world for more than 60 years. And it is wrapped in secrecy. Because this subject is so widely ridiculed, it's important to stress why it's worthy of serious attention. Stories of strange objects in the sky actually go far back in time, but from the 1940s to our own era, military personnel from the United States and many other nations have encountered unidentified flying objects. Visually, or on radar, or both, sometimes at close range. These events happen not scores of times, but hundreds of times, perhaps thousands. Sometimes the encounter was nothing more than a solid radar return of an object moving at an incomprehensible speed, performing impossible maneuvers. Sometimes it included the violation of sensitive airspace. Often it involved the dispatch of one or more aircraft to intercept the object. At times, crew members have claimed to see a metallic disc-like object, sometimes with portholes, sometimes with lights, frequently engaged in what appeared to be intelligent evasive maneuvers. In a very few cases, it appears to have involved the military retrieval of a UFO. In a few others, it involved injury and even death to military personnel. And in a very large number of recorded instances, military personnel who encountered UFOs were adamant that they did not see a natural phenomenon. This is clearly a serious development, and it has been treated as such by those groups charged with maintaining national security. The CIA, the NSA, and all branches of military intelligence have historically received UFO reports and discussed the matter as something of serious concern. And yet, the military and other branches of government have created the fiction for public consumption only that the UFO problem is nothing to be concerned about, certainly not the result of little green men. We are fortunate that starting in the 1970s, the U.S. Freedom of Information Act began to help researchers learn some of the truth that lay behind the facade of propaganda. We learned, for example, that some U.S. military analysts initially might be behind the flying saucer wave of the 1940s and 50s. They studied this possibility, but rejected it. They also rejected the possibility that these were secret American technology. And indeed, options quickly narrowed. Either this was something real and alien, or it was something conventional, but as yet unknown or unexplained. Already by the end of 1947, a contingent of analysts at the Air Technical Intelligence Center, ATIC, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, believed that UFOs were extraterrestrial. And by the summer of 1948, that team prepared what they called an estimate of the situation, stating the extraterrestrial hypothesis. The response, the team was dispersed and reassigned. Yet, thanks to FOIA and the courage of a few senior officials to go on the record, we have a collection of statements about UFOs that are so numerous as to be impossible to mention all of them here. But a few might give you an appropriate flavor of what I mean. Here is one from General Robert B. Landry, Air Force aide to President Harry S. Truman. Landry said, in an oral history interview given about 40 years ago, I was called one afternoon in 1948 to come to the Oval Office. The president wanted to see me. I was directed to report quarterly to the president after consulting with Central Intelligence whether or not any UFO incidents received by them could be considered as having any strategic threatening implications. Landry went on to say that he continued to brief President Truman in conjunction with the CIA quarterly for the rest of the Truman presidency. That's no less than 16 briefings. We might want to know why a man as busy as Harry, President Truman, was, why he would take the time out of his schedule to have so many meetings about UFOs. And yet we have no official transcript or record of those briefings. This is a statement from a top secret 1948 Air Force intelligence report called Analysis of Flying Object Incidents in the U.S. Quote, the frequency of reported sightings, the similarity in many of the characteristics attributed to the observed objects, and the quality of observers considered as a whole support the contention that some type of flying object has been observed. The origin of the devices is not ascertainable.
Okay, we're going to stop it midway there. So just let me wrap up this program, everybody. We are looking forward to the Congressional Hearing Initiative by the Paradigm Research Group, We're going to get deeper information in the next couple of weeks leading up to this. And we will combine forces to help make disclosure happen now in this window of opportunity this spring. I will be posting the new Saint Germain message tomorrow morning. I am calling all shuttlecraft. Please rush in to send your donations now as you can. Very much needed, very much appreciated. I have a business opportunity that may benefit both of us, organiccosmos.org. Look there. That's me giving back to the community. And go to theearthcollective.com and put forward your intentions. In the meantime, I'm going to play us out. We'll see you next Wednesday, everybody. Namaste.
Bring me down till I was too high.